Hi, everyone, and welcome back to She's an Engineer. I'm Shannon, and I'm flying solo today, and I have a pretty exciting episode for all of you listeners. Today, I'm going to be interviewing my dad, who is a civil engineer and has been practicing for the past 46 years. So let's just jump into the interview, and I'm first going to have my dad introduce himself, talk about his current position, and what his current work entails.
Hello, my name is Ralph Kromps, and I currently work for the Federal Aviation Administration as a project engineer. My role, I have two primary roles with the FAA. My main role is to produce engineering drawings and engineering specifications and packages along with government estimates so that we can put out for bids for projects. For FAA facilities, manned and unmanned, navigation aids and such. And then my other role is if we have issues that come up, problems with buildings or power, electric power problems or HVAC issues, we call those pop-up issues, come up with solutions to those problems. And work with contractors to get the facilities and infrastructure repaired.
So the second question is, Dad, how did you get into civil engineering?
Well, when I was very young, I was always interested in construction. Living in Pittsburgh, the city of bridges, there would often be bridges being torn down or new ones going up and new buildings. And anytime I saw like a housing project, if it was close by, I would wait until the workers were off site, had gone home for the day, and I would sneak into the houses before the drywall was put up so I could see how they were framed, how they were put together, how the wiring and the plumbing was run. And I was just fascinated by construction.
That sounds like a very thrilling childhood activity, but it got you into civil engineering. Can you also give us a brief summary of your engineering career and maybe the types of firms that you've worked at and where you ended up?
You can split my career almost exactly in half. The first half was in the private sector. I started off with a medium-sized company that had three divisions. One division was exclusively tire plants, mostly for the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. And their second division was an industrial group that did work for various industries. And the other group was commercial group. And it was much smaller. Most of its work was in the city of Cleveland, many with like much older buildings. Some of them were century buildings that were being repurposed or refurbished. I was there for 3 years. I started off with the tire plant division, went to the industrial group, and finished my work time there with the commercial group. From that point, things were slowing down when I was after I completed a year with the commercial group, and the lead engineer, lead project engineer in the commercial group happened to be good friends with the chief structural engineer with a very large company in Cleveland, what's called the H.K. Ferguson Company. And the company was going to be have to lay people off because of the lack of work. And so he contacted his friend at H.K. Ferguson and let him know about me. And I ended up walking out one door of one company and walking into the door of another company. Within days, I had another job and a substantial raise. And I was there for 3 years. And at that large company, they had very large projects. My first project there was with General, we were doing work for General Electric. They were building a plant in Taiwan that would fabricate electric generators. And they also, their primary customer was Anheuser-Busch. And my next project there was with a project they were doing in Houston, Texas for a large expansion of their brewery there. And I was assigned a building to myself to engineer. After 3 years with H.K. Ferguson, things slowed down there. They were bought by another company and they let a lot of people go. I was one of them. And I moved on to a very small company. And that was the most interesting job in my career in the private industry. This small company did projects, very small to much larger. They did surprisingly large work, large projects for as small as they were. And I became the chief structural engineer for that company. I was there for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I did everything from homes, new homes, refurbishing or remodeling existing homes, working on plants, industrial plants in the Cleveland area and also across the country. And I worked with timber construction, reinforced concrete, structural steel. And my the principal of the firm happened to be a pilot, and he could fly single engine aircraft. And I flew with him numerous times to projects we had out of state, like New Jersey, South Carolina. And I had an interest in aviation. It was one of the my second choice. Had I not become an engineer, I wanted to do something in the field of aviation. And so I started to be able to combine, you know, flying, getting to see how airports function and such. At the same time, I was flying to some rather large and interesting projects. And most of those projects, I was the lead structural engineer. And from that point, after 10 years with that company, we went into a very very big slowdown in the construction industry. And that's common when you're in the construction field. You have kind of like feast or famine, and you're either working frantically and maybe extra hours to get projects done, and then you hit those slumps in the economy when things really slow down. The company I was working for, they really tried to hang on to me as long as possible, but they reached a point where they couldn't afford to pay me and some of the others. And so I was let go from there. And that's when I began my career in working for the federal government with the Federal Aviation Administration. And from that point, I, instead of becoming an engineer that was doing structural design like 95% of the time, I became a project engineer, and I was expected to know have some expertise in areas outside of structural and civil engineering, which such as electrical engineering, HVAC, mm-hmm. Project management. And at that time, the FAA was very big on sending their employees back to school, essentially, to get expertise in other fields. And the University of Wisconsin in Madison has, and I think still does have, one of the largest continuing education programs for engineers. And what they would have, like, you would go there to Madison, there's their main campus, you would be there for a week or two, and you would get a crash course. Like, for example, one of my favorites was called Electrical Engineering for the Non-Electrical Engineer. And you would learn the National Electric Code and how to design circuits, power circuits and such for buildings. And also they had courses in HVAC and plumbing. It really expanded my knowledge in construction. And so I could oversee pretty much all aspects of all the disciplines that are involved in doing construction projects for new buildings or refurbishing existing buildings or redoing infrastructure like power lines or buried power lines or plumbing, water service, wastewater service, you know, all the aspects. And that's pretty much what I've been doing through my career with the FAA, which is getting close to 26 years now.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a very successful and fulfilling career. So one question I had was, how has your career changed over time? So I know at the FAA, at least, you decided to stay in a more technical role versus going into management, but it also sounds like you diversified some of your technical expertise to staying in not just structural, but electrical and HVAC and everything. So what kind of weighed into your decision to stay more technical and learn new skills versus going into management?
I prefer engineering and dealing with engineering problems, much more so than dealing with people problems. And it's just my love of engineering. I didn't want to give that up and go into, you know, a different area. And I did kind of do management. At one time, when I first started with the FAA, there were so many projects to do. We had, they hired on contract engineers. These were engineers that were provided by a private industry, and they would work under direction of an FAA engineer. And I had, at one time, three contract engineers working for me, and I would assign them projects. I would oversee their work and check it before it went out to contractors for bidding. So I did in management, but it was more of a technical management rather than personnel management.
Mm-hmm.
So now as we got caught up with getting repairs and replacements to facilities that were installed during the late 1950s and early 1960s, the contract engineers, one by one, went away. And at this point, I'm doing most of the work, pretty much all the work in my area on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I write the specifications, I type them up and prepare them. I do the government estimates, and I also make the engineering drawings, construction drawings using CAD. So it's almost like a one-man shop operation now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would deal, once the contract is let with a contractor, I will work with them during the construction phase if any unforeseen issues come up,
mm-hmm.
and or any changes need to be made along the way. So it's kind of like a jack of all trades as a project engineer in my role with the FAA.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it sounds like you're really the subject matter expert these days. So backing up previous in your career, what influenced your switch from working at the private companies to joining the federal government and the public sector?
I wasn't planning on working for the FAA. And at that point in my career, I wasn't planning to switch to government work. Early in my career, I had some interest in working with NASA, and I came close to getting a job there. When I was offered a job, I had already established myself in another company, so I turned the offer down at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it just was a matter of timing and opportunity. I needed a job at the time, and I was offered this position to work as a civil engineer with the FAA at airports, and it combined two of my strongest interests in a career, one being engineering and the other being aviation. And I was really excited about being able to put those two together. And that's probably why I stayed with it so long.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what have been the highlights and maybe one or two of the lowlights of your career so far?
Okay. As far as lowlights, when I first started my first job out of college, and I was working in this tire plant division, building a tire plant is pretty much cut and dry. Now, they had a lot of standards already set up, so there wasn't much opportunity to get into design, and I was really anxious. I thought to do design work. I found that when I was in college, I loved the structural design work, and also reinforced concrete design. So my first year of doing tire plants, it was mostly hand drafting, mm-hmm. which I learned to do. CAD wasn't a thing. It was about to get started as a thing, but there was hardly any companies. I don't think any company was into CAD at that point. But the little bit of design work I did do impressed the managers of the company. So they moved, that's why I was moved up to the industrial group, which gave me the opportunity to do more design. I was still doing hand drafting, but I was also doing design work as well. That they saw more of what I could do and my love of it and the potential. That's when I got moved to the commercial group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I really got my opportunity to get into design work, because every project we did was unique. we were working on buildings that were close to 100 years old. And, you know, they used construction methods and construction materials that were very different than what we do today. And so it took research and, you know, using your basic skills, your basic engineering skills and knowledge, using all the math and science that you learned along the way to, you know, work through these issues and figure out what these buildings could safely support load-wise and, you know, the best ways to modify them to repurpose them to what the owners wanted as the finished product. And I loved that. That was great. And moving on from that, in the small company was the most diverse work I got the opportunity to do. Everything from houses to high-rise office buildings to crane buildings. It was, I found that fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I would say the highlight of my career was with that small company. There was a company in Wooster, Ohio, and they were changing their function from building, you know, trailers for trucks to, they dabbled a little bit in working with presses to stamp out body parts for the auto industry in Detroit, especially whenever the auto industry was changing models. They had to shut down their press lines, and sometimes to finish out a model year, they needed to run a small number, a relatively small number of parts to keep the assembly lines operating. So this company would do that. In the early 80s, the big three in Detroit, Chrysler, Ford, and GM, were making changes to their press lines. They had presses that were built in the U.S. in the late 1940s, early 1950s, and those presses were pretty well worn out or needed to be rebuilt. And also they wanted to go to computer-controlled and operated presses. So they were selling off these presses at pennies on the dollar, basically for scrap value. And this company in Wooster bought all those up, and their employees were very good at tearing these things down and rebuilding them, replacing seals so they didn't leak hydraulic fluid, and replacing the worn out parts. And at the same time, American Motors plant was being, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, was being demolished. And so they were buying up press support beams and steel and bridge cranes, again, for scrap value, and having them shipped to Worcester. And so they showed me, I was given an inventory of all the materials, all these used materials they bought. And they told me if I needed other materials, they would be willing to buy new. And my assignment was, I was the lead structural engineer, and I was also the project engineer in this project, was to put together a stamping operation so they could do much more work for the big three and also for Honda whenever these companies were needed to shut down their own lines. This company would pick up and stamp out body parts, hoods, door panels, fenders, you name it. And to me, it was like when I was growing up, there was a kit you could buy. It was called an erector set. And you would get stamped steel parts and a lot of machine screws. And you can put those together as like the structure of a high-rise building or like a truss bridge. And it, to me, it was like they gave me a gigantic erector set, a just big toy set for me to work on, and I just loved it. Mm-hmm. It was a long-running project, and when we were done, we had this fully operational press line. And like within a year, in front of their office across the street from the press building, they had Quality One flags from GM, Ford, Chrysler, and Honda flying because they produced a product that was very high quality, and all these companies really appreciated the work that they were doing for them. I found that very satisfying, and mm-hmm. I was a part of that.
So would you say that project was one of your favorite projects to work on, or do you have another favorite project in your career?
That was probably my most favorite project. It was the biggest project that I did, and I did it independently. I was pretty young at the time. I was in my early 30s, and I was given a lot of responsibility, and it turned out really well. And I was pretty much the engineering group for the design build contractor that put this all together. And they were very appreciative of the work I did for them. There was one other project that I found satisfying, not nearly as big, but it was challenging in a structural engineer's perspective. There's a auto mile on the east side of Cleveland, and there was a company that was going to build two showrooms and repair the facilities along that. It's on Broadway Avenue, and they were able to obtain some land for a very low price, and they were excited to build these two new facilities. Well, what we found out was that this land was actually at one time a landfill. It was a dump. And underneath the soil, which no one knew at the time, there was junk cars, there was trash. It was a foundation nightmare. But we figured out a way. I did work with my boss somewhat on this to come up with a system of concrete piles to support the weight, to take it down to the original soils that could support the weight. And also, since this was on a hillside, one of the buildings had to act as sort of a retaining wall. There was a lower level, like a basement level, and that's where they parked their inventory eventually when it was finished. But the one wall of the building acted as a retaining wall to keep this landfill from sliding down into the valley. And so we put a row of large caissons. I believe they were 3 feet in diameter. They were in a line like soldiers side by side. And they were installed well into the original soil, undisturbed soil below, to act as a sort of like a sheet piling to support the building and give the building stability so that the one wall of the lower level could act as a retaining wall. And that worked out really well. So there's two very attractive car dealerships located on a very well-advertised, called an auto mile, where many cars are sold. And it was built on land at one time a garbage dump. Mm-hmm. So that was satisfying to solve that. That was the most complex foundation that I ever had to do in my career. And I don't think there's very few that would be presented with that kind of a challenge.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. It sounds like a pretty difficult problem to solve as an engineer and also kind of fun. So moving on to a few personal questions. I know you hinted to this before, but if you weren't in the engineering field, what career field would you go into?
When I was in high school and considering, you know, what career to go into, my number one interest was construction, but I was also very interested in aviation. And I did ponder at one point enlisting in the Air Force and see if I could become a pilot. And the career opportunities there was, and many young men are doing this. You go into the Air Force, you get your training as a pilot, and when your hitch with the military was done, you come out and you start a career in civil aviation as a commercial airline pilot. But there were so many other young men that were interested in this. The Air Force could be very picky about who they chose. And one of the factors could eliminate you was that if you didn't have 20/20 vision and you could not have corrective lenses, contact lenses, or glasses to qualify. So that eliminated that pretty well. And so there are other areas in aviation that you can work in, but at that point I decided the civil engineering was the way I wanted to go. And as luck would have it, I was able to combine the two fields together. And so I got the best of both, I guess.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I never knew you wanted to go into the aviation field, but I guess in the end it turned out all right since you were able to combine them. What is your favorite structure or bridge as a civil structural engineer?
This is an easy one. The Mackinac Bridge in Michigan is my favorite bridge. It is not well known. Everyone in the country, if you say the Golden Gate Bridge, everyone has a picture in their mind, they've seen photos of it, they've heard so much about it. In my opinion, the Mackinac Bridge is more impressive than the Golden Gate Bridge. It is a combination of a suspension bridge and truss bridges. Is the suspension part of this bridge is almost as large as the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a little bit less than 4,000 feet, where the Golden Gate Bridge is a little bit more than 4,000 feet as far as the span goes. But the total length of the Mackinac Bridge is 5 miles, and it connects the upper peninsula of Michigan to the lower portion of Michigan. So it gives the opportunity for the state to function as one economically. And the challenges that were faced weather-wise and just the size and scope of this project were, in my opinion, more challenging than the Golden Gate Bridge. And if anyone has an interest in seeing the Mackinac Bridge, every Labor Day, they close down one half of the bridge, two lanes on one side, and people are given the opportunity to walk across the full 5 miles. So they have buses set up, school buses and other buses. And they, if you're coming from the lower portion of Michigan, you load up on a bus, they drive you across the span to the other side, they unload, and then you walk back and you get to see every aspect of the bridge construction and also the view of the Straits of Mackinac, which connects Lake Michigan with Lake Huron. The view is just spectacular. If you can do 5 miles, you can walk 5 miles. I highly recommend it, mm-hmm. especially if you're an aspiring civil structural engineer. As far as buildings go, I grew up in the city of Pittsburgh, and there was one building that really caught my interest when I was in high school, happened to be growing up at the time. It was the U.S. Steel Company built this building, and they use a weathering steel. They called it Corten steel, and the skeleton, the exterior structural, is exposed on the outside walls and allowed to rust or corrode. But with Corten steel, it builds rust does not flake off, and it acts as a coating or a paint so that the rust does not continue to go into the structure. To me, it's beautiful, the color of it and looks of it. And that was one of the most imaginative, unique buildings in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I have yet to visit the bridge in Michigan, but for those of you who don't know, my parents actually went on their honeymoon and walked across the bridge over Labor Day many years ago. So getting into the next question, what are your plans for retirement, or do you have any plans to maybe do a part-time second career on the side after you retire from the FAA?
There's lots to do. We were blessed with the opportunity to build our dream home on an acre and a half of property. So there's lots of opportunities for me to work doing landscape work and work outdoors, which is something that I really enjoy doing. I find relaxing. I have a classic car that I like to do a little work on from now and again. And my wife called my attention to the fact that recently the city government in the city that we reside in was looking for a part-time engineer. Now, that position has been filled. I wasn't ready to make the change yet. But if an opportunity came like that, where I could work part-time, mm-hmm. as an inspector and sort of a consultant, rather than doing design work, I might just jump at that chance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to maintain my PE license, continue to get continuing education credits, which is what you need to do to maintain your PE license. But I do still love engineering, and I love hearing about other projects that are going on in the country, other people's projects, and I like to keep my mind up on the latest building materials and design methods and mm-hmm. construction methods. So I will continue with that as well.
All right, now on to the last question. Do you have any tips for junior level engineers?
Yes, I do. when I was getting started, I had the opportunity to work with several older engineers that were well experienced, and they were interested in mentoring the young engineers that were joining the company. And I found that it was very worthwhile to listen to them, consider their advice. And I also, they also provided myself and some others that were in my graduating class early on with some design aids that they made on their own. And over the years, in their early years, I put together a very thick three-ring binder with design aids that senior engineers who wanted to mentor young engineers provided us. And I still have that three-ring binder, and I make use of it to this day. And I've added to it on my own with design aids that I've made too.
Mm-hmm. And didn't you actually pull that binder out recently?
Yes. One of my brothers is going to put a roof over an outdoor patio area or deck area. And he was talking about doing the design, choosing the wood framing vendors to support the roof. Well, I just happened to have a design aid. It's the graphical design aid that was put together by one of my favorite mentoring engineers in my first year out of school. And it makes it very easy to and quick to determine what size dimensional structural lumber you need to support a given load, you know, snow load or dead loads and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so I provided that to my aeronautical engineering brother. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you all so much for listening, and want to thank my dad for being on this episode. I know if you have any bridge structure engineering questions, he's happy to answer them if you contact me or my dad. And I hope you learned something, because I learned a few things about him too. Well, great. I guess we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Bye.